and another one of those. But Psalm chapter 103, and we think so many times this past week, especially in my life, if we will stop at times in our life and we will just begin to take an inventory of the good things that God gives. What a blessing it is to be able to recall to our memory the good things that God has done for us. I was thinking this week about the song. It says, when I look around and see all the good things that He does for me, I know that I'm unworthy of them all. Yeah. But His blessings He freely gives. And I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. And I think this morning that the psalmist in chapter 103, which was a song, he begins a song of praise to God. And so we'll look this morning at this psalm of praise. And in this psalm of praise, we'll see the actions that are worthy of praise. And those are actions of God. They're not our actions. Amen. He is the one that is worthy alone to be praised this morning. And then we'll see the attributes of His praise, the reasons why, in His character, why He is so worthy and so high and holy to be praised above all. And then we'll see the adoration of His praise at the close of this chapter. But verse number 1 says, bless the Lord. And notice maybe in your Bible, all the words bless there are all in capital letters to give us emphasis. If David could draw our attention today to what was in his heart and mind, that when he penned this chapter down, it is praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And we think this morning about praise to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. They are His benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Is there anyone today so high and so holy that should be praised, who should be worshipped, who should be adored, who should be blessed with every ounce of energy that we have in our being should be turned to blessing and praising the Lord? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege that we have to be in Your house. Lord, we thank You for this morning for the praise that's already been offered. Lord, for the songs and the hymns. And Lord, for the merriment of our hearts and the melody down deep in our soul this morning as we look to You who is high and holy and above all things and worthy of our praise. Lord, we pray for a little while this morning as we look into Your word that You feed us. Lord, You encourage us. And Father, You will strengthen us that we might worship and adore You in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in these first few verses that He expresses His intent to bless the Lord. He has a purpose in mind. He wants to thank the Lord. He wants to bless the Lord. He wants to praise the Lord for all of the good things that God has done for him. And the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that we have, we receive as a handmaid receives from her, from the lady that she serves. She is given from that hand. So God's hand to our hand is how we receive blessings here in this life. It is all because He loved us and because He purposed to bless us that we can intentionally return praise back to Him. David says, because of everything that He has done for me, I will personally purpose in my life to praise and to bless God for what He has done for me. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said. His praise shall continually be on my mouth and in my heart. Listen, we are people today that ought to be happy. We should be happy because of everything that the Lord has done for us. The songwriter put it like this: no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody else could do for you what the Lord has done for you. So to Him and to Him only, we render our praise. The word bless there is the word in the Hebrew, the word Barak, B-A-R-A-K. And I'm not talking about Barack Obama this morning. But the word bless in the Old Testament in the Hebrew language actually has two meanings. It means to adore, to kneel, to bless, to praise, or it can also be, the meaning can be to curse. You remember whenever Job's wife says, bless the Lord now, Job, curse God now, is the same word, the word Barak. So with our mouths, David had a choice here. With his mouth, he could curse, or he could bless the Lord for everything that he had done. And so this morning, we want to bless the Lord with David, with all that's in us, for His goodness and because of His high and His holy name. Then He gives us the reasons here, the actions for this praise. Did David do anything? No, David failed many times, but God, who cannot fail, who has an immutable character, an unchangeable character, David says, these are the reasons why I personally want to bless the Lord. Number one is because He forgiveth all my iniquities. Notice these action verbs that are used in these next few verses here are the continual present action. He is in the process and He is continuing to do this through eternity. He forgiveth. He is constantly in the process of forgiving all my iniquity. Thank God for that, because that's the greatest need of man. David, why did you write that first? Because that is the first and foremost greatest need of man, to be forgiven from all of our sins. From the time that Adam sinned in the garden, the book of Romans makes it plain that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And it's because of Adam's original sin, because of Adam's rebellion, because of Adam's disobedience that we are made sinners and born into sin. So the first thing He says, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to kneel and to adore Him, first of all, because He has forgiven me and He forgives my iniquity. I say praise the Lord right there. I'm so glad that I don't have to go through life thinking and worrying about all of the darkness, all the condemnation that is on me, because that's been removed the day that the Lord saved my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And listen, our iniquities are many. Hey, if they could be reckoned up in order this morning, everything that we've done wrong in our life, we'd have a book against us of all of our sin and iniquity and wrongdoing and wrong thoughts and wrong intentions. And we'd have so much against us that we in and of ourselves could not overcome it. But He forgives us on the basis of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. He took the handwriting of ordinances and laws and ordinances that were against us and nailed them to the cross when Christ died. And He says, this is the new covenant that I will make with them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God this morning David says, I will bless Him. I will praise and adore Him because, first of all, He forgives all my iniquities. All of them. Not some of them, not part of them. He forgives all of them. Amen? Hey, I'm so glad that there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? He took that sin and took it away by His own blood, and did away with it at Calvary so we can have fellowship with Him. Amen. We can praise Him for that today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now look at the second part of that verse. Who healeth all thy diseases. Look at this. He heals all thy diseases. Now let me say this. When we look at these benefits that he's not wanting to forget, and then he makes a list of these unforgettable benefits, if you will. First of all, is because he did away with my iniquities. But second of all, he heals all my diseases. And as we look at these five things that he does for us, these are spiritual blessings, spiritual benefits that he gives us. And then we see also some physical benefits. But when we say this in a spiritual way, spiritual benefit this morning, who healeth all thy diseases, some people can't say, I'm a Christian and God healed my body. Some people God don't choose to heal. Right? But he's talking here this morning about a spiritual healing. Hey, let me tell you something. We know that the Bible says that talking about whose father are you? Are you one of God's children, or are you a child of the devil? It talks about he's a liar, and he told those in the New Testament, you're of your father, the devil, and what he wants you to do, you're going to do. And the Bible also talks about the spirit of disobedience. Okay, there is the Holy Spirit who leads and guides the believer, but there is also, in the same way, there is a spirit of disobedience. That is the power of the devil that has such a hold on people that draws them to sin and to wickedness. And let me tell you something. We were diseased. We were aliens from God. We were depraved. We were totally depraved. In darkness. We'd rather have darkness than light because we loved evil.
Yes.
We were under the disease of sin. Do you know what happened to you and me whenever we repented and by faith called upon the Lord? He healed our diseases. He healed us from the curse of sin. He healed us from the penalty of sin. And he will heal us and take us, remove us from the very presence of sin one day. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Boy, we could shout on that a little while, couldn't we? Hey, do you know before we met the Lord, before we were saved, do you know what the only thing that we had to look forward to was? John chapter number 3. This is the testimony that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Hey, he came not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're not waiting to be condemned. They're condemned already. John 5:24 talks about how that through Christ we pass from death unto life. We were waiting, bound in chains of darkness and sin, reserved for destruction in a pit called hell. But he redeemed us. Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. If we were to sit down, we don't even think about it enough. We don't meditate on it enough where God truly brought us from when he saved us. We think about everybody else and how wicked they are and how wrong they are and how bad their sin is. But the truth is, apart from Christ, if it had not been for the Lord, we were just as bad off as them. We were all bad off together in Adam. But he saved us. And he bought back our life from the pit of destruction. And gave us a new life and hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He redeemed our life from destruction. Who knows? Only God knows what could have happened to your life. Had you not been saved. Who knows? Maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a few years down the road, your whole life would have been destroyed. Sin brings death. Sin brings destruction. Sin brings all these bad things that happen, and the devil wouldn't, and he wants nothing more than to see your life useless and destroyed. But the Lord came. And he redeemed our life from destruction. Amen. He paid the price. That's what it means to be redeemed. He paid the price for us so that we wouldn't have to be destroyed in a place called hell. Amen. I'll tell you, we got so much to be happy about. And we're worried about where we're going to get this from, or how's that need going to be provided. I prayed the other night with Terry and the boys, and I said, Lord, just give us calm. And help us to just trust you as a little child for every need that we have. Amen. Because all that I have needed, his hand has faithfully provided. Morning by morning, new mercies every morning. Mercy at midnight, mercy at noonday. Whatever you need, God's mercy and his faithfulness, he always going to show up on time. Amen. He saved our life from destruction. Brought us back from the waste hell in the wilderness. Hannah said, he brought me from the dung pile and made me to sit among princes. Amen. Without him, we wouldn't have any hope. Without him, all we would look forward to is destruction and death and doom eternally. David said, I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to raise my hands up in praise and adoration to him with all my soul and all that is within me, because he has redeemed me from destruction. Amen. Look at verse number 4 again. Not only did he forgive me and heal my sinful disease and sickness and redeem my life from destruction, but crowneth thee with loving kindness, not just kindness, but loving kindness. Loving kindness. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. The most educated man, the most emotional man, the most talented man in the world couldn't take the ocean as if it were ink and the skies as if it were paper and write down and explain through eternity the love of God. But he has crowned me. He has set upon my head his loving kindness. And not just his loving kindness, but his tender mercies. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but that gets my heart stirred. Because he could have just destroyed us and been done with it. But he chose to love us anyway. And to be kind toward us in that love. And to be tender to us like little children. And to have mercy on us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. We were talking this week. Me and the boys were talking, and they realized they had little bitty buds all over their tongue. And I said, you know why God made you with taste buds? Why? I said, because God loves us so much, he wants us to enjoy what we eat. He wants us to taste it, so whenever we taste it and it's something good, we feel happy.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And you know what the scripture says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So nothing can satisfy you greater. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what. A good ice cold peach pop satisfies me. Or a good piece of chocolate with some almonds in it. That makes my physical body happy. But there's nothing that can satisfy your soul better than to get a taste of the Lord and his presence in your life. I'm not talking about hearing a sermon on Sunday, but I'm talking about feasting on the Bible through the week. Getting your soul satisfied every time you open this book. Amen. I was reading in the coal truck this week in Ephesians chapter number 1. It says that the name of Jesus, that he's far above all principalities and powers in this world. Had myself a time feasting on the Lord because he satisfies our mouth with good things. The best things. Amen. Nothing on his menu is bad. It's all good. He's good to us all the time. And for that, we should render praise to him. Amen. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hey, listen, when you eat, your body gets strength. And when you feast on him, your spiritual body gets strengthened. Amen. People all around, I've said it in the last year, the biggest problem most Christians have while they flounder and they stay depressed and are down all the time is because their diet, they're not eating the Word of God. You read this Bible and it'll help you. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will satisfy you in a world that has nothing to offer. This Word of God will satisfy you. He said, I'm going to praise Him for that. Because I know that it's because He satisfies me that my strength is renewed. Hey, listen, you're not going to go in your own power. He's going to strengthen you. Amen. Well, he says that these are the reasons why I want to bless the Lord. Okay, and he lists these five reasons why I'm going to bless the Lord. But then he deals with the person of God's character, the attributes of God that allows him. And he looks deeper into what he did. And he offers more praise because of that. Look at the next part. He looks in verse number 6 and he said, here's the reason why that he can forgive iniquities. Here's the reason why he crowneth my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Here's how he does it. So here I'm going to offer praise to him because of his character, because the attributes of his good things he gives. Look at verse number 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We could talk all day about all in the Bible when people were oppressed and down that God came and rescued them. Yes. Yeah. David said, I'm going to offer praise because of these actions that God has took for me. But then he says it's because of his person. And looky here, he says he's the God, that he's righteous and he's holy and he executes right judgment and he does right things. So this God that I'm serving, this God that I'm praising, he can be trusted because he's faithful and because he is full of good things. Look at verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He's God and he's all these things, but he is this God. And he chooses to reveal himself unto man so that man knows where all the good things are coming from, so that man can in turn render good things back to God. Look at this, what he says, verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Can you put your name in that verse in the place of the word Lord? Can you say that I am merciful, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and I'm gracious? Can you put your name there? I can't put my name there wholeheartedly. None of us can, but the Lord can. He is, and He's our example, right? So look what He says here. He says, here are the attributes of God that makes Him so good, that makes Him so great. These are the things that make Him a benevolent God. Because nobody else is like Him in this respect. First of all, He's merciful. Nobody is merciful like God. Nobody's mercy can be compared to the mercy of God. Notice what He says here. He's merciful. He's gracious. Well, I'll tell you what, we're thankful for the mercy and for the grace. Look at verse number 11, because verse number 11 goes with verse 8. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. What kind of mercy is God's mercy? It's as the heaven is above the earth. Hey, we're down here. And the atmosphere, the canopy of the atmosphere, it goes so high. And then beyond that is into outer space and then into the Milky Way galaxy. And only God knows how far that goes. He's talking about, he says, well, the Lord's mercy is great. Well, how great is it, David? If you're praising Him and you're getting beside yourself thinking about the mercy of God, how great is it? As far as the earth is from the heavens itself. That is how great God's mercy is to them that fear Him.
Yes.
It's unable to measure it, Praise God. Hey, you know why? Because I know sometimes how I am and how much I need that great mercy. Paul said it like this. He was zealous. He was righteous in his own eyes. He was a good Jew. As touching the law, the Bible says in Philippians that he was a Pharisee. Okay, but you know what he says in Ephesians chapter number 2? But God, who is rich in mercy and great love wherewith he loved us, gave himself for us. Hey, God, who is, he's the author of mercy. The heavens themselves can't contain all his mercy. David said, I'm going to praise him because of his great mercy toward them that fear him. Look at verse 8. He's gracious. Look how he explains that in verse number 12. Here's the grace of God. I'm telling you, I'm about to have a fit. His mercy is high as the heaven is as high above the earth. He's gracious, David said. Well, give me an example of his grace. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And you already know east and west never intersect. When you go in that direction, you keep going east or you keep going west. God's grace boggles the mind. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound to the sinner who needed it.
Amen.
To the sinner who rejects it, it don't sound too good. But to the sinner who receives his grace and mercy, how wonderful it is. Great grace. We don't even know how to tell how great it is. It's bigger than we can tell. It's bigger than we can experience. It's good all the time. God's grace. Not giving us. Mercy is him not giving us what we deserve. Grace is him giving us what we didn't deserve. Great grace. Amen. As far as the east is from the west. It says there that he's slow to anger. Look at verse number 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What that simply means is when we mess up, he don't beat us to death.
Amen.
He don't get mad at us. Because he's slow to anger. When we mess up, when your children mess up, you want to grab them up and correct them. That's not how the Lord does us. He pities us like a father. He's slow to anger. It takes a while for the fire of his wrath to kindle up. Amen. He's not going to mark his children with direct and terrible punishment, but he gives men a chance. Slow to anger. Why is God so compassionate? We see his great mercy, his great grace, but we see his great pity or compassion. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows that we can't do no better. He knows that we're still in a body of sin. But he loves us anyway. And he shows pity on us like a father does his only son. And he has compassion on us. And compassion is what causes him to act towards us in a loving way. Thank God for his goodness. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Man is born, he grows up, he's in his strength, and the next thing you know, he's cut down. And God knows this. For the wind passeth over it like a desert heat passes over a young tender plant and causes it to dry up and wither away. God knows that we're just temporary. We're frail. We're weak. We're unable to help ourselves.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
But his great compassion as a shepherd for that one lost sheep. He leaves the 99 to find that one that was lost. And he rejoices over it. I can't even understand it. Why he didn't even want me.
Bless his name, amen.
How he could even love me. And David said, when I think about that, I just want to praise him for what he's done for me. Says the wind passeth over it, it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Listen, there's one of these days everything about us will be forgotten, and if time goes long enough, our existence will not even be recorded in history. We're not famous, we're never going to make the history books. But God knows who we are. He knows who we are. And you know what it says in verse 8? And plenteous in mercy. Look at that next verse right there, verse number 17. Why can God be plenteous in mercy? Because the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Hey, why is God so great? Because he's got an everlasting mercy. His mercy endureth forever. It's from generation to generation. His mercy is without end.
Amen.
To children's children. And to such as keep his covenant and remember his commandments to do them. You say, well, I can't remember all his commandments. I failed to do all his commandments. Sometimes we think we got to be perfect in order to experience God's mercy and grace. Not so. He gave us mercy and grace because we're not perfect.
Amen.
We're going to mess up, aren't we?
Yes.
He's talking here about those that remember even when they mess up. And they go back and they repent. And they do the right things over and over and over again. They remember where they messed up. And they go back and they start doing right again. Hey, listen. It's good to know today, and it's praiseworthy to know that when we mess up, that we can be restored, and we're still good to God, and he hasn't forgotten us, and he hadn't cast us away like some reject clay, but he can put us on a potter's wheel and get what's marred out. Amen. I'm glad he didn't throw us away. I'm glad he didn't write us off.
Yes.
And he knows we mess up. He knows we make mistakes. But he has compassion on us. And he loves us. And he extends everlasting mercy to us. I bet when David wrote this, I bet there was tear marks all over the paper. How can you think of the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the everlasting aspect of God doing good to us and not shed a tear?
That's right.
How great is God? Well, as we look at that, we look at the final part today, and that is the ascension of his praise. We see the action of his praise. We see the attributes for him to be praised. And then we see the ascension of his praise. And you say, well, what is that? Well, where do our praises go? We praise, we look up to God, we raise our hands up to God. Because where is he at? He's up. He's far above all principalities and powers. Look in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Where are we supposed to praise to? Are we supposed to get down on our knees and pray towards Mecca?
No.
Are we supposed to get down on our knees and pray towards Jerusalem?
No.
Now the Jews are promised a special blessing when they pray toward this place, and that's Jerusalem. But the church, the saints of God, where are you supposed to pray to? Where are you supposed to send your praise to? The Lord hath set his throne in the heavens.
Yes, he
has. And his kingdom ruleth over all. You think the president or the prime minister or whoever's in control? No, the Lord is. Look at verse 20, first three words, bless the Lord. Look at 21, first four words, bless ye the Lord. Look at verse 22. Bless the Lord. Now there's some reasons here to bless him. And where's his praise going? It's going to the throne room. It's going to the heavens of the heavens. to the kingdom, to the King of all the earth, who rules over all things. He's not only creator of the earth, but he is governor over all things. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Who's praising the Lord today besides David? David said the mightiest of the angels, the archangels, they praising the Lord today. Not only are they praising him, but they stand at attention. Whatever he says, they fully obey him. They go and do.
Yes, they do.
They excel in might and strength. Uh-huh. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all ye his hosts. And suddenly there was with the shepherds, with the angels, a heavenly host, yes, glorifying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All those angels that are not archangels, that came to herald the birth of Christ, that desired to look into salvation, that stood at attention when Christ brought the blood back to heaven. Amen.
Yes.
They all are giving him praise today.
Amen.
Around the throne of God, the seraphim and the cherubim, they fly around with and have their face covered and their feet covered, crying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, that was and is to come. And then they say it all over again. And then again. And then again. And if heaven was to be quiet, all you could hear was the echo of angels praising him. David said, I'll send my praise to the highest place, to the seat of the Holy One, to the place where the archangels bow down and adore him, to the place where the heavenly host cry, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
David said, that's where I want my praise to go. And then he says, he says, you ministers that do his pleasure, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Hey, listen. Where are we going to praise the Lord at? Everywhere where he has dominion. Is there anywhere where he don't have dominion? David said, I'll join with the heavenly host. I'll join with the armies of heaven. I'll join with the redeemed of all the ages in praising him.
Amen.
For all that he has done. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And he concludes, let the entire world, let the entire earth, the entire creation bless the Lord at all times. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I wonder sometimes if we had, you ever seen a fundraiser thermometer where they put it on the wall and they got everything marked, they got a goal up here. And then as they get money in, they mark it off in a red marker to show how much support they've got raised towards their goal.
Yeah.
Well, if we could this morning, if we had a praise thermometer, and we had up here is his rightful place, okay? And if we was to take a red marker and mark in as our praise got higher and higher, I wonder if this morning, today, if we was to mark where we're at in our praise to God, wonder where we'd come in at. I believe we're far from the goal. I believe we ought to wake up in the morning with praise on our lips. I believe we ought to go through our day with praise on our mouth. We ought to go through the evening with praise on our lips. We ought to pillow our head at night with praise and thankfulness on our lips for what he's done for us. Amen. Because of who he is and because of how high his throne is, we should praise God at all times. And in the night, he might just choose to wake you up with praise on your mouth then too. Amen. I'll tell you what, I thought about this week and it cut me to the heart. I don't praise the Lord like I should. We just go on through a routine. Well, the Lord did this. Every time we set the table,
we should
thank God for what he's given us, for what we have, for the life that he's given us. And if we get to thanking him enough and praising him enough, just like David here, David got to praising him and adoring him and lifting him up so high that he realized that he was accompanied not by other men, but he was accompanied by the hosts. They joined in with David and all the earth. Hey, listen, if our praise got so high for the Lord to where everybody and everything around us said, hey, we want to praise the Lord with you.
Yeah.
What a difference that would make in our lives and in other people's lives. Think about it. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet.